It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
Hello and welcome to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and on behalf of the entire Eco Talk team, all four of us, we are thrilled to be bringing you down-to-earth solutions to the world's environmental problems 5 days a week now. Yep, greening the red and blue states one show at a time just got a heck of a lot easier now that we're going to be on Monday through Friday. I want to warn you, though, Eco Talk is speaking only to people who are affected by climate change, toxic pollution, our current administration's one small step forward and one giant leap backwards energy policies, human health, environmental justice issues, the exciting green business revolution, the devastation of our oceans, smart city planning, and the quality and integrity of our families' lives. The rest of you need not be concerned. And yes, the list of eco challenges is long and is daunting, but what? Me? Worry? Well, today we're going to be talking about eco-anxiety, in fact, because a lot of us are feeling some eco-angst. Liz Galst has just wrote a fabulous and very timely article for Plenty Magazine called Global Worrying. It's in the September issue. We'll get to that interview in just a moment, but also want to tell you about the rest of the show. We'll be chatting with someone who we hope will become a regular contributor to our program, Joel McCower. He is the founder of GreenBiz.com. He'll be talking about the growth of green business as well as clean technology. And then finally, the chickens will be coming home to roost in our own backyard. Shauna Weber, who we are happy to report, will remain a correspondent for Eco Talk in her new role as sustainability manager at Princeton University. It's the first time they've had such a role, by the way, another sign of the times. She'll be reporting on the simple, peaceful presence of a pet chicken and the fresh eggs, insect control, and child education they provide, all that and more. And if we've learned anything else over the years here at Eco Talk, it's don't count your chickens before they hatch. But here we are. This is a culmination of a 10-year dream that we're hatching to be on, just like the big guys, Monday through Friday. And why not? There's so much to talk about. First, we want to thank the groups that have saved us and kept us alive to get to this point and kept our little hen house happy and together. And giving EcoTalk loving care and financial support along the way has been NRDC, Union of Concerned Scientists, Earth Justice, Princeton University, Bosch Home Appliances, and the First Affirmative Financial Network have all gone out of their way to help make this show possible. So please learn more about them and join their groups if they're a green organization, if it's a company, buy their products. Bosch, of course, is one of the leaders in energy efficient appliances. So we at EcoTalk, on behalf of the Earth itself, thank you. And we also want to acknowledge Air America Radio management and staff for seeing the wisdom in moving EcoTalk from once a week to 5 days. As I said, there's a lot to take on and there's no time to waste. So let's dive in. Want to welcome Liz Galst, author of Global Worrying. It is the cover story in this month's Plenty magazine. I guess this is a sign of the times, mainstream media noticing global warming and its consequences. But like so many issues we're facing now, one can't help but wonder, have we chosen hysterical panic over a calm yet aggressive response? Well, Liz Galst recently wrote that article for Plenty, as I mentioned. It's called Global Worrying. Welcome to the inaugural edition of Eco Talk.
Hello.
Did something in particular bring on your own episode of eco angst, or did it build up gradually?
Well, it started to build up gradually, but I think one thing really precipitated it. I'm a journalist, and I cover a lot of environmental issues, and so, you know, I'm sort of daily inundated with very disturbing reports about the progress of global warming, if you will, about the melting polar ice caps, about increasing storms and heat waves and all sorts of things like that. But my son was born about 3 years ago, a few days before the major blackout on the East Coast in August 2003. And I was sitting there nursing him and listening to National Public Radio to a report about how the tundra in Alaska is thawing.
Even the permafrost is melting. The permanent frost is melting.
As I was listening to that report, the power went out across the East Coast. So I think that really precipitated for me this incredible anxiety that, you know, was occasioned by my knowing very disturbing things about global warming and what scientists are saying, and by being a new parent.
And so what were the first symptoms you exhibited?
Well, You know, like a lot of people who have anxiety, I was sort of obsessively thinking about things that I could do to help stop global warming. So it was...
Like your article says, walking 8 flights of stairs to your apartment.
I was, never taking a cab in New York City where I live. I would turn off the lights in my apartment all the time. So now I did a number of things that are actually effective in helping to combat global warming. We switched our apartment over to a green power provider, a renewable electricity provider, and we have offset the remaining greenhouse gases that we might be responsible for car trips that we occasionally take and the heat in our apartment. But those things didn't seem to kind of do the trick. I didn't think, okay, I've done my fair share and calm down. That didn't happen. I would stay up late at night worrying about, you know, what kind of grandiose things I might be able to pull off, like winning the lottery and funding a renewable energy startup company that needed funding.
Oh, my gosh.
I was really sort of caught in this loop of anxiety.
You know, I think we were separated at birth, Liz. I thought I was the only one who stayed up late.
No, I think actually that a lot of Americans are really worried about global warming. There was a Gallup poll this spring on the occasion of Earth Day, and 36% of the people polled at that time said that they were extremely worried about global warming, and another 26% or so said that they were very worried. So, I'm not sure that everybody has symptoms that are clinically recognizable as eco-anxiety, but a lot of Americans are extremely worried.
Well, and there's quite a dichotomy between, I guess it seems like about the 10% of us who do lose sleep over this, and up until recently, at least, the rest of the population, the other 90%, who appear to be oblivious in a lot of ways. And again, we're in the process of seeing that change. But what gene did we get that they didn't?
Well, you know, actually, experts do say that there are people who are more prone to anxiety than other people. About 30% of a person's anxiety level is determined by genetic factors. And then women are actually more inclined to experience anxiety than men are. So there are some things that predispose people towards more anxiety.
And Lord knows there's a lot happening out there in the world to make us all anxious if we really take it in. But what's specific about some of the, you know, environmental challenges? You know, we're really talking about possibly the end of life as we know it sometime this century. Shouldn't we be worried about that?
I think we should be worried, but I think there's a difference between productive worry and unproductive worry. And what I was experiencing was clearly not very productive. I was sort of helped to understand that by a cognitive and behavioral therapist who's sort of the go-to guy in the world of cognitive and behavioral therapy named Robert Leahy, who's the author of a book called The Worry Cure. And he sort of delineates the differences between productive and unproductive worry. And in fact, walking around being a nervous wreck, getting no sleep, doesn't really help you address the problem of climate change.
Right. And the things you did, by the way, it's worth noting, are some of the things we should all be doing. But that's really the key. You can only do so much as one person. But
right.
But it does start at home. It does begin with small steps. We're going to get to some of the solutions after the break. We just have another minute or two. So I just want to ask you, what made you decide to write a whole column about this?
Well, I was actually asked by the editors at Plenty to write an article about this, and it seemed like a good experience. I knew a lot of people who were becoming extremely nervous about global warming. A friend of mine who I had said, you know, back last fall that I was worried about global warming, he said, oh, you know, what's the big deal? And then she read the series, the Elizabeth Colbert series in The New Yorker on global warming, and the next time I saw her, I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm a wreck. I just read this series in The New Yorker, and I don't know what to do.
It seems like it started about a year ago with Katrina, followed by Wilma, Rita,
right.
Of course, the devastating hurricanes. I remember Oprah did a whole segment on whole show on environmental problems and ended the show with, you know, a little bit of what you can do about it. And as did Al Gore, you know, with his movie, do a lot to wake up America, hopefully
right.
Still playing across the land. And at the end, of course, they roll like credits, you know, what you can do. But we need to really absorb it in a much deeper and wider way, because I met a lot of people who still haven't seen that movie as I traveled this summer. Have you? Dared
I
you?
Have.
Did you dare
I
see
I
it?
I haven't seen it because I thought That's the kind of thing that'll make me really anxious.
Put you over the top. Well, you're excused.
It's not like it's information that I don't already know. Mm-hmm. But
you may be the one person I don't make go see it, or I won't talk to you anymore. I won't be your friend. So, but you're about to say something before we go to break. Go ahead.
Just that, I think that people are becoming increasingly concerned, and I hope that the marketplace and the government will provide us with opportunities to address those in a way that's economically viable.
Okay, and we're going to talk about in the next segment what we can do about it, because that's really the key now that we have people's attention, because there is this phenomenon, as Al Gore said in his movie, and I've said a lot, you know, how come we're going from denial to despair seemingly overnight? What about that place in the middle? We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to the inaugural kickoff edition of Eco Talk, the daily version, and we'll be back right after these messages with more gloom and doom with a sense of humor. Ecotalk.net is where you'll find us on the web. Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and for this kickoff edition of Eco Talk, the daily version, I am pleased to be speaking with a fellow journalist, Liz Galst, who has something I have as well, and many of you perhaps as well, but don't let that stop you. We're going to talk about how we can turn eco-angst, which is the topic of an article she wrote, cover story of this edition of Plenty Magazine, a great magazine if you can pick it up, what we can do about all this global worrying. So Liz, when we went to break, we were talking about that space between denial and despair. You know, Americans are, you know, world-class deniers on a lot of levels and in a lot of ways. And we're also really good at then getting paralyzed and sort of saying, oh, well, too late. I'm only one person. What can I do? Did we miss that opportunity, or is it really just the tipping point and beginning to occur now, in your opinion?
I think there's a lot we can do, and I think a lot of people are becoming mobilized. I'm part of an effort that's going on in the Jewish community, a campaign called A Light Among the Nations, How Many Jews Does It Take to Screw in a Light Bulb? And it's an effort on the part of a huge number of Jewish groups, synagogues, community organizations, to sort of turn up the heat on global warming, if you will, culminating at the Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, at which time the organization is encouraging people to switch out their regular incandescent light bulbs for much more energy efficient compact fluorescent light bulbs. So I think there's a lot we can do, and I think, you know, it is easy to despair when you're confronted with a lot of scary information, but despair doesn't get you anywhere. Despair sort of digs you into a hole, whereas action and working together with other people is what can bring you out of despair.
And if we don't get into action collectively as a nation, as a planet, we are certain to have a darker future.
Indeed.
So how do we begin? Where do we start if we want to be part of the solution and not just contributing to perhaps the biggest problem of our times and our planet?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that people can do is to change public policy and to work on all levels to make that happen. You know, you're out in California, and this incredible thing has happened in California, where the governor and the legislature came together and put together a law that will cut greenhouse gas emissions substantially in the next 20 or 25 years. You also have had a solar initiative that's going to fund 1 million solar homes in California. When voters in the state of Colorado introduced a ballot initiative that required that 10% of the electricity in the state came from renewable resources, these kind of efforts have far more impact than anything that we can do as individuals.
Although it does begin with the individual, but you're right. And I say, those of you who are new to our program, you know, we need to connect the dots between personal health and planetary health. And only when we have an informed population will we demand cleaner, you know, products, policies, politicians, and presidents.
Right. And I think the thing is to get involved in a grassroots level, joining a group like the Sierra Club, which has tremendous opportunities for volunteers at a local level, is a really great thing to do. Or maybe you are active in synagogue or a church or a mosque or a meditation community. Get involved there where you can have a lot of impact and you'll have an established social network of people where you can get the word out. Those are the kinds of things that are really, really effective and can actually really help you feel less anxious because you're doing something that's very concrete and very tangible. In our synagogue, we started a campaign to get members to switch over to Green Power, and more than 10% of our members did that, and that's an incredible number given that in New York City a lot of people don't actually pay their own electricity bills. They're paid by management companies and things like that.
And another impactful part of the treatment is drive the most fuel-efficient vehicle you can find.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, a quarter of all car trips in the United States are a mile or under. Those are trips you could walk or trips you could bike or, ride your scooter or skateboard to. So think about, ways that you don't need to drive. Take public transportation if it's available to you. Carpool. Those are all great things to do. Fly less. Air travel, unfortunately, is incredibly productive of greenhouse gases. And I'm pleased to say that Expedia.com has now added to its checkout process a way where you can offset your greenhouse gases.
That's right. And I just want to, I have to cut you off because we're going to break and we'll have to have you back again. I should mention that you're now more than 8 months pregnant and also the mother of a three-year-old. So obviously you're cured, I guess, enough to bring another child into this world that hopefully we can heal together.
I hope so.
Get out and freak out and then get over it and get on to taking on the solutions to global warming and other environmental challenges. Liz Golf, thanks so much. Good luck with your new baby.
Thanks.
And go out and buy Plenty Magazine. You can read all about it. Eco-anxiety. Let it spread and then let's move into action. We'll be right back.